to the very first episode of the Withered Hands Music podcast. I'm not sure why I called it that, but I couldn't actually think of a better name, and I wanted to call it that. Yeah, that was Dying Fetus as an intro there. I went to see Dying Fetus, I believe it was in 2010, or is it 9? No, 2010, I think. Yeah, and honestly, the main thing I remember about that is that it scared the living shit out of me, the whole thing. Like, I'd never really been to a death metal festival before, or it wasn't really a festival, it was just a gig at the London Coco, and the headliners were Cannibal Corpse, and at the time, I was like a support worker, and I took a service user, as they're called, with me to the gig, and he was a huge Cannibal Corpse fan, and I was as well, so we went to a gig. It was cool because the company would pay for travel and stuff. And although I had to promise I wasn't going to drink, and I had to look after him, of course, and it's very hard to do that at a death metal show. I just mainly remember, like, it was kind of like, it was going okay. I mean, Trigger the Bloodshed were playing first, and they were okay, but the sound was really bad. And then you had Annotations of an Autopsy, which were, they were fucking insane. I remember, like, the bass was, I could feel the bass all the way through my body, and with the drums as well, which is, and, like, the singer, the big bald guy, like, I think it's Regan or something like that, he scared me, and he had that presence about him, which was like, you know, do not fuck with me, you know, stuff like that, and, it was an amazing show, and I just remember, like, I was trying to look after this guy when Dying Fetus came on, and because when they came on, all of the crowd appeared, and it went insane, and, like, there was about, I don't know, 500-600 people, probably not that much, maybe an exaggeration, but, like, they just absolutely went crazy, and the guys at Dying Fetus, I mean, they were putting on a great show, but they were, like, they wanted people to, like, literally go mental, and I wasn't used to that, and I'm, like, trying to protect him, and it kind of wasn't working, and in the end, like, he was getting, like, punched around and stuff by all these people, and in the end, I was just like, alright, just fuck it, just go mental. So he did, and he did what, you know, a lot of people know as he entered the mosh pit. But the funny thing about it was, like, he did that, and the only people he ended up attacking were these two women that were behind him. And they were just stood there like, what are you doing, you know? And but they just, it was like, I was just staring at him like, what the hell? And because he just went for these two women. And there is actually a video on YouTube somewhere of me and him. We're in the middle of the show, and you actually see me ask him if he's all right, and I don't know if you can see the response, but you see me there with my glasses on, and, like, glasses on at a death metal gig is not a good idea. I mean, I wish I was wearing contacts, but I've tried contacts. They don't work. But, he was... they do work for some people, but they just don't work for me. And I was wearing my glasses. And you can see me quite clearly look at him, and I'm like, are you all right? And he's just like, he's going mental. He doesn't care. But it was a great show. It was really good. I mean, Cannibal Corpse were amazing. And... on the whole, it was brilliant. I mean, Trigger the Bloodshed, as I say, sound problems, but the rest of it was, like, fantastic. Anyway, on to the show. My first time doing this, I don't really know what to do. I'm literally just going to, like, play music that I love, really, and music that I think other people, you know, should listen to. Oh, that's a bit patronising, I don't mean it that way. Like, people that maybe you don't know it as much, like, could maybe come away from this and enjoy it. And I need to make the point clear that I'm not earning anything for this, and I'm not trying to, like, rip off bands and play their stuff for no reason. I want people to listen to this and to like the music they hear, and to go out and buy the CD, you know, either Amazon or even go to the source, you know, buy them from the band. I mean, at least that way you know they're getting the money, you know. I mean, Amazon and eBay are great, but, I mean, how much of that money goes to the actual artist, you know? But this is my forum to pretty much play music that I love, and hopefully other people will love. I mean, I'll play stuff that I don't usually play, I suppose. Because as time goes by, I mean, I'll listen to new stuff, and I want to give people a chance to hear it, you know. And I mean, you might like it, you may not like it, but it's worth a try, you know. It's music. As I say, I mean, we started with the intro with Dying Fetus there. That was a song called Subject to a Beating. It's off the Reign Supreme album, which I actually consider, I mean, one of their best. I mean, it's one of their latest, but I think it's a brilliant album. It's very clean, but in a brutal sort of way, you know. And I think it speaks volumes. I mean, I've listened to their older stuff, and I love it and that, but old-style death metal is great, but the sound is sometimes a bit lost, and I like being able to listen to it and understand what's going on. I mean, maybe that's me being stupid, I don't know, but I'm not one of these, like, you know, like the black metal fans that are like, you know, Roar is always the best. I mean, I don't consider Roar is always the best. Roar is good, but sometimes you want to listen and you want to appreciate the work that's gone into it. I mean, I don't want stuff that's overproduced, but I want it to sound like it's, you know, someone's attempted to produce it, you know. But anyway, yeah, I'll shut up now, and I'll start things off. I'm going to start things with a band called Black Sun Aeon, and the song I'm going to play is called Frozen, and it's off an album called Router, and a bit of background. I mean, Black Sun Aeon, they're from Finland, and it's, you know, it's mainly a guy, he's called Thomas Suukkonen or something like that. They're not actually around anymore. He's kind of given up on all his projects, apparently, and he's in a band now called Wolfheart. I mean, I'm not sure if it's one of his solo things or it's something he's grouped up. I've not really researched it as much as I really should have, but this is a song that I absolutely love, and I think it's a great way to start off things, and I think the guy is really talented. And the album before, Darkness Walks Beside Me, was, in my eyes, flipping phenomenal, you know. And probably better than the Router album, but I absolutely love this song, so I'm going to play this song. So yeah, I'll get this underway. Here it is. We'll be right back. Okay, so the first song there was, of course, Black Sun Alien with Frozen. And the second one, which I believe is an absolute classic, that was The Forever People by My Dying Bride. And I always remember when I got the DVD, I think it was like 18 or something, like the Four Darkest Eyes DVD, and I watched it, and the whole show was amazing. Like, I wish I'd been there. I think it was like recorded in 96 or something. And I remember watching that, and then that was like the last song they did. I'm sure they'd done the last song. That was their last song for ages. When I went to see them, they did The Dreadful Hours as the last song. Now, don't get me wrong, that's an amazing song, but nothing gets you moving like The Forever People, you know? I mean, you want to go out of the gig like, you know, proper pumped up maybe, you know? But, yeah, so that was My Dying Bride from their debut full album as The Flower Withers. And, yeah, I mean, I love that album. I mean, I thought their early stuff was brilliant. And I'm not one of these people that kind of went off them when they stopped the whole growling and they incorporated more clean vocals, because I think clean vocals have a place in all sort of music, and kind of growling does as well. I mean, well, maybe kind of growling in, like, music that's popular, you know, what they call pop music. But, yeah, My Dying Bride, I think they incorporated it all really well. And, yeah, it worked, you know. And, yeah, I kind of realise I'm saying and a lot, and I'm going to try and stop that. My when it comes down to, like, My Dying Bride and stuff, I mean, people talk about, like, the original, like, the Peaceful Three, you know, like, you've got Paradise Lost, you've got Anathema, who I used to call Anathema, but I heard them say Anathema, so I call them that now, Anathema, and, of course, My Dying Bride. And when I first saw My Dying Bride, it was actually, I believe it was the Unholy Trinity tour, and it was Paradise Lost, My Dying Bride, and Anathema at the beginning. And Anathema, flipping, I believe they were the band of the evening that night. And if you look at the music, like, they all kind of started, like, more doomy, growly, you know, stuff like that. And Anathema are nothing like that anymore. They've gone very proggy, and they incorporate the clean vocals. They've got the female vocalist. Yeah, she suits it really well. I mean, their last album was one of my favourite albums of all time, the Weather Systems one. And I think it's flawless from beginning to end. And they, with the DVD as well, I think they really, like, showed everything off. I believe, I could be, I think it's like Bulgaria or something, and maybe I'm wrong, but that DVD, yeah, it was fantastic. And but yeah, like they say, like, the original three, and a lot of people talk about, like, Peaceful, like, they really, like, they kind of helped form loads of bands. Like, they were the label for loads of these bands that started off with. I mean, I know Paradise Lost went off and they were part of Century Media. I'm not sure if they still are. Anathema are now part of the K-Scope, or Scope, or however it's spelt. And I suppose it helps with the style of music, because the way Peaceful are, I mean, I don't know if Anathema really would suit their record label anymore. I mean, I'm not really one to say, but for me, I mean, with record labels, you have that sort of, you know, this is the sort of band. But then again, like, you've got Metal Blade, who, in time, their two top acts were Cannibal Corpse and the Goo Goo Dolls. Now, you can't get two completely different bands than that, you know. And they're both, in their own way, they're both brilliant. I mean, I'm a big fan of the early Goo Goo Dolls stuff, not really the slushier stuff that they kind of turned into. Iris, although, is a fantastic song, and for a fantastic film. I've always been a fan of City of Angels. But yeah, Cannibal Corpse as well. Like, they, well, like, with George Fisher, like, when, of course, as I was saying earlier, with the Dying Fetus gig, I was lucky enough to meet him, and he was a really cool guy, and a huge fucking neck, you know. I mean, you see him, he's like a trunk, you know. He's like, his neck is, like, bigger than both your hands put together, and, like, there's no way you could strangle that guy. Yeah, but he was a really nice guy. And yeah, I mean, Cannibal Corpse, again, another band I didn't really get into till quite late in, I mean, I think I was in my early 20s when I got into Cannibal Corpse. I used to, when I was younger, I used to be into, like, all new metal and stuff like that, like everyone is when you're my age, you know. You go through that stage, everyone goes through, like, a Nirvana stage as well. I mean, I think I did, but it wasn't very long. I kind of lost interest in Nirvana after a while. They all sounded the same, which, you know, although I could say that the music I like is all very similar, I suppose. And a lot of people say that the music I listen to is depressing and all this stuff. But I don't find it depressing. I find it helpful. I mean, and if you're depressed, you want to hear something beautiful that kind of, like, you realise why you're alive, you know. And there's like a brilliant passage in one of the My Silent Wake albums that Ian Arkley wrote. And I don't actually have the CD on me. I'm on my girlfriend's borrowing them. I'm trying to get her into My Silent Wake, because I've totally gone mad on them at the moment. and I'm trying to get everything they do. I think actually I have, apart from their latest stuff. They did like an ambient session. I need to buy that. I don't really want to download it because that's cool and everything, but I'm one of these people, I like having the physical thing in my hand. I think a lot of people are like that. I mean, I won't lie, I have downloaded. I do download, but I'm the sort of person, if I like music, I will buy it. I'm not just one of these people that lives just for the downloads. I like sitting in my room. I like putting a CD in. I like looking at the artwork and reading the lyrics and stuff like that. But then you have bands that I love as well. I mean, there's like bands like the Angelic Process. The guy killed himself a few years ago. It's a shame because the album they did before he actually did that was one of the best albums I've ever heard. And in later episodes, I'll play more of Angelic Process. But in the same vein, I mean, you've got bands like Naja, or I don't really know how it's pronounced, but I pronounce it Naja. And they're very simple. You don't really have any lyrics in theirs. It's just like a little, like a gatefold sort of thing. There's no booklet or anything. And it just says, oh, this person made this album, you know, and this is what they do. And that's all it really is. And which, you know, simplistic's good, but sometimes I want to know what's being said in the songs that I'm listening to, especially ones where some of the vocals are inaudible. And I listen to a lot of Funeral Doom, and a lot of the vocals are inaudible. And I want to know exactly what they're going on about. The music is beautiful, but I want to know if the music isn't just like the how do I put it? Like you're listening to it. I know what I mean. I mean, I need to think about it a bit more. If I remember, I'll come back to it. Anyway, I'm rambling on again. I'm going to play some more stuff. Yeah, I'm going to play, the next stuff I'm going to play is a band called The Foreshadowing. Now again, I'm still quite new to these. I've only really like been into them for a couple of years. I know they've been around a lot longer than I've been into them. The song I'm going to play is called Hope, She's in the Water. Now, this is my favourite song off the album, but again, I think the album is amazing, like from beginning to end. The Dawning, which is the opening track, like got me kind of hooked on them. And at first I was a bit funny about the voice, like didn't know if I really liked that kind of gothic-y sort of singing style, but it took a while and I kind of really took to it because it's got like the doom elements, like the way the guitars, like the twin guitars and the atmospherics behind it with the orchestral stuff and all that. And anyway, yeah, this is Hope, She's in the Water, and it's from an album called Oinos. And again, I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's spelled O-I-O-N-O-S. I suggest going out and buying it because I personally think it's brilliant. Yeah, so anyway, I'm going to play this and there'll probably be a couple more after that and I'll explain what they are when I come back. But yeah, here we go.
My hope, she is in the water. I swear I saw a night when she left me. My hope, I ran her lines, then left me, drown as guilty. My hope. My
7.
Until then, Hiroshima sky was beautiful. After that,
with rain.
That I'm pretty much playing a lot of Doom Death stuff on this, but oh fuck it, I don't care. My show, I do what I want. If there's anyone out there that has any suggestions of me changing the style, just feel free to say. Yeah, so we started off with the Foreshadowing there with their song Hope She's in the Water. Again, like with the gothic-y vocals, but I thought there's quite a lot of Doom elements in the way the guitars are played. Fantastic album. That followed that was November's Doom with a song called Rain. That is off the Novella Reservoir album. All these albums you can get off like Amazon, or you know, as I said earlier, go to the band's website, order from the band, give them some cash for their hard work. And after that we had Daylight Dies with a song called Woke Up Lost. Now that's off the Lost to the Living album. Not their latest album. That I think that was like the one before the last one they did. The last one is called A Frail Becoming, and that in a way, you know, I think it's one of their best pieces. But my only like little issue with it is that it sounded a lot like Opeth, like but with a different singer. Like the guitar work was very similar. Now Opeth are quite proggy, and yet they've of course got their metal elements like death metal and stuff like that. Because what's his name? What's that? Anders? Is that his name? I think that's his name. I can't remember his name. Anyone who knows the name, email the name of it. I should go on the internet and check. That's so stupid. How can I not know the name of the singer of Opeth? Anyway, I'm wasting airtime. Yeah, his vocals are absolutely incredible, and he can do the really awesome like kind of like 70s style proggy singing, and he can also do like the up to date death vocals, like the growl and the grunt and all that stuff. And brilliant stuff from Daylight Dies and Opeth, you know, with respect. Okay, so let's talk about some gigs that are upcoming. We've got the Catatonia gig, which is on May the 16th. That's the Unplugged and Reworked European Tour. I'm going to be at that one. I'm going to be at the Union Chapel one. They've also got a show after that, which is at the Brudenell Social Club in Leeds. It's I kind of like the Dethroned and Uncrowned album. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I thought Dead End Kings was a really good album as well. And when I went to see them a couple of years back with a friend of mine, they were really balls to the wall. And I've seen them twice now, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them again. And it'd be strange to see them out of their normal, like, metal. I keep saying metal, it's so cliche. Like, I'm just going to say, like, their loudness, you know. And I've always been a fan of Jonas Rentz's voice, and Black Heem is an amazing guitarist. Although, when you see them live, he looks like he's just come out of the 70s with this day and age clothing. But yeah, fucking brilliant. Some quick news on OPEF. The drummer, Daniel, he's actually left the band. I'll read a statement here. It says, dear friends and fans, I've been thinking about this for the last couple of months, and I've come to the sad conclusion that I have to leave the band. It's got nothing to do with the difference in views or any other bullshit. I just cannot combine job, family, and commit 100% to Catatonia. Time for musicians are rough, and I've decided to concentrate on my family and get a normal job and get the bills paid. Now, in all fairness, it's a fair way of doing it. It's a respectful way, and it is a hard time for musicians these days, because a lot of people are just downloading illegally, and they're not really putting the thought into, like, the bands that are actually trying to get their asses out there and work, like, because this is their job, you know. For a lot, it's not their main job, but it's like they need the money. Like, they pay a lot of money to go into the recording studios. They need to see some of that money coming back. Now, they're not doing it just for the money. They're doing it for the fans to listen to it and to enjoy it, you know. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the buck, you know. All comes down to that. And I think people forget that. Anyway, back to the events that are coming up. There's a Doro gig on May the 19th. Now, it sucks that I can't go to that, because I've been a fan of Doro for quite a while now. I love her voice. I've been a fan since I listened to her on... She was on a Bruce Dickinson show. I think it was on BBC Six or something. And where I used to live, like, I used to listen to the radio on the TV, you know, like you do through Sky and stuff like that. And I just remember listening to that show, and they were talking, and she's a crazy, you know, crazy lady. And it was really funny, and Bruce didn't really know how to put himself a lot of the time, you know. She's quite a little minx, and I love her, and I love her voice. It's, you know, very old style, and, like... And the cover of Nothing Else Matters that she did was brilliant. I thought that was fantastic. Not the biggest Metallica fan in the world, but I can respect them, and I think what she did with that song was fantastic. Also coming up, Mayhem, they've got a tour going on. They're playing at the Electric Ballroom. It's a bit of an odd venue for Mayhem, I would say, but yeah, they're playing there. They're on May the 21st. For those of you that love Aerosmith, you know, old style stuff, they're playing. They're going to be playing at Clapham Common. That's on the 20th. Oh, sorry, yeah, the Mayhem gig's on the 21st of May. Yeah, these are all May shows thus far. I'm going to I'm going to Catatonia, as I said, this year on May the 16th with my friend who I went with previous. That's it's going to be awesome. He's a big fan, and it's something when I first met him, it's something we instantly connected on. So I really appreciate it. I think it was Catatonia. It was funny. I was actually wearing a Catatonia hoodie. I don't think he realised when we first met, and a wristband. But they just came up in conversation. I was like, yeah, I love Catatonia. He's like, yeah, so do I. And we just instantly got talking, and we've been to see them. Yeah, we're going to see them now our second time. So it's going to be awesome. I remember that show because we also saw Alcest, and I'm a big Alcest fan, a big Nage fan. I think the stuff he does is brilliant. I know he's coming under a lot of criticism for, like, a lot of the music he's doing, like, sounds the same, or he's putting his fingers in too many pies, but a lot of the stuff that I've heard come from that man has been fantastic. And I've recently started listening to, I think it's Pessy Noir, like the black metal band, and they're brilliant. And Audrey, the singer in Alcest, I don't know if she's in it on all the albums. I know she was on the first album, and I believe she was on the second, but she was also on the Amaeus's album, and that is brilliant. Again, people, if you like that, you know, don't just take my word for it. Go out, look at it on YouTube or something, or just go and buy the fucking albums. They're brilliant, and they're worth buying, you know. What else we got coming up? I've said Catatonia. We've got The Ocean. I'm not a big fan of The Ocean, but they're playing. Machine Head, they're playing. That's going to be cool. They'll be playing. They've got the Rescue Rooms in Nottingham. They've got Edinburgh Liquid Rooms. They got the Stallius in Leeds, the Waterfront in Norwich, Manchester Club Academy, Brighton Concord, and that's it. I don't see a London show. That's quite confusing. It's quite odd for Machine Head not to do a London show. I'm sure that must be, it must come up at some point. They run through from the 29th of that would be July, actually. It's gone all the way up to July. I'm reading these off a website, and I've just realised that. But I've also just seen that Def Heaven are playing. Now, I really need to go see Def Heaven. But from what I see, they're not playing in London. And London's, like, my closest venue, other than, of course, the Ivy Leaf. But the Ivy Leaf's claim to fame is having Napalm Death play there. Which, you know, is pretty cool. But, you know, we need more bands at the Ivy Leaf. It's a good venue, and it's close to me. So they're kind of the upcoming things. I'm actually really excited now. Hopefully Def Heaven will add a show to London. I know I was talking to someone recently, a guy called Aaron. He said he went to see them, but he said they weren't very good live. Now, I've heard that before. I can't remember, Pathony and I, like, their Worlds I Create album, I think it's brilliant. And I always remember, it's funny, because the first time I went to see Catatonia, I was in the shop in Camden, and I was there with my ex-wife, and we're in there, and we're looking through these hoodies, and, you know, it's one of these shots, you go in, they expect you to buy something, you have to buy something, and so they're looking at you, and, like, you're looking at all the hoodies, like, oh yeah, this is cool, this is nice, and then they walk up, you know, this gothic woman, you know, just trying too hard, you know, she's got makeup where there shouldn't be makeup, you know, and I think she was, like, Portuguese or something. She was very good English, but she was talking, and, like, she's like, she pulled out this Pathony and I hoodie, and she was like, I will give you this hoodie for £20 if you can tell me, like, where, who this album is, or name one of these albums, because it doesn't actually say the album on the name of the hoodie. And I said, oh, you know, Worlds I Create. And she looked at me, like, stunned. She was like, okay, you know this band. And I was like, I was lucky, because I'd only recently just got into them, and I loved what I heard. And I thought, you know, it's a bargain. And but now, of course, you know, on eBay, like, they sell it for like £9 or something. I don't think they're as popular as they thought they were going to be, but okay, no, I love them. And of course, they got Jonas Rensk on the album, the song Ascending, which I absolutely love. And so if you're already out there, you know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go out, buy the album. It's Pathony and I, Worlds I Create. It's a bit black metal-y. It's I think there's members from a band called 1349, is it? I think 1349, 1379, something like that. They're in that band, and I think they're really cool, but I heard that they're absolutely terrible live. So, I mean, I can't judge, because I've not seen them live, but, you know, a lot of the time you take people's words for it. I went to Wasp with my girlfriend, and they were fantastic, but the sound was fucking terrible. And you saw this guy doing a solo. I don't know any of the Wasp people. You saw this guy doing a solo. He's really putting his heart and soul into it, but I couldn't hear a fucking thing. And I wasn't drunk. I was just staring at him like, I can't actually hear what you're saying, hear what you're doing with your guitar, which, it was a shame, you know, but bands do suffer that sometimes. I think that was the first time I'd actually been to a band where that actually was the problem. But I'm going to end this now. I'm going to do two more songs, and then it's going to be done. And I'll come back and say goodbye. Okay, so here's two more songs. two things have occurred to me while listening to these. And now it's done. Two things just occurred to me. The fact that those two bands sound pretty much identical, and yet they're totally different. They're from different countries or whatever. But the second band, Bloodbath, brilliant band. Again, a mixture of Catatonia and Opeth. Now, I remember the name, it's Mike Ackerfeld. And no, I didn't research that. I actually sat and I remembered it and I was like, oh, you know, I was rehearsing what I was going to say, which is pathetic because, you know, I haven't rehearsed any of this and it's all just coming out as bibble babble. Hopefully, as time goes by, I'll sound a bit better. But yeah, Mike Ackerfeld, because it's him, he's the singer, you've got Black Him, who's the guitarist, you've got Jonas Rensk, who's the bass player, you've got Sodomizer, who is also the guitarist. He's not there anymore, though. I believe he's left because he left Catatonia. I don't know if he's left Bloodbath as well, though. But Bloodbath are kind of like a side project anyway. I honestly don't know the drummer's name. I want to say it's that Lopez guy from Opeth, but I could be totally wrong. But again, big Bloodbath fan. I've got a few Bloodbath shirts, you know. They're really cool. And I noticed the other day, like, I was on their website. I think it was on that EO Merch website. And I saw they seem to be pinching a lot of other people's logos, and I had to ask my girlfriend because this logo looked really similar, and she said, oh, it's Def, and I looked up Def, and it is Def. They've blatantly ripped Def off, and I don't know if they're doing that as a joke. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, if it is done as a joke, then that's fair enough, but they're going to end up making money off like Def's logo but with their name instead. But yeah, that's Bloodbath. That was from the I think it's Resurrection Through Carnage. Brilliant CD from beginning to end. That song reminds me, though, of the guy I was telling you about earlier, the one that I went to the Cannibal Corpse gig with, because that's kind of like the only song he really liked by them. And I remember being on shift and he would be bouncing around the kitchen, you know, I am eternal, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, I think it's a brilliant song. And it's like, it's got the meat factor, you know, and it's got the movement. You can move along to it. But yeah, that song reminds me of him. The first song that I played before the Bloodbath one was a band called Valenfire. I don't know if I'm saying that name right, or Valenfire, you know. Either way, it's Greg McIntosh. You know Greg McIntosh, the guitarist from Paradise Lost. It's a band that he's in. He's the singer. I believe he did the album for his dad or something. I think his dad died or his dad was really ill. And he made this album to kind of like vent it and stuff. And it's got him in it, and it's got people from a band called At The Gates, who people are going to listen to who may know or may not know. I honestly haven't listened to a lot of At The Gates. Maybe I'm going to listen to them and then possibly put them on a later show, you know, if I like the sound of them. But then again, you know, I'll still put them on anyway because, you know, other people might like them. So if anyone like listens to this, if I actually have any listeners and they have any suggestions for any songs, just like let me know. I mean, you know, I can put it on and stuff. Or if there's any local bands out there that want to be on it, then that'd be awesome. Because I'm hoping to someday, you know, maybe do some interviews with local bands or something like that. I mean, get Skype up and all that crap. If this takes off, it may not take off. But anyway, so this was the opening show of the Withered Hands podcast, dedicated to music dark and dreary and balls to the wall, you know. I want to do more themed episodes, but of course, this being the first one, I just thought I'd let it out and play some of my favourite sort of songs. And I'll in the future I'll think more about what I'm doing. But it's been great doing it, and I'll catch you down the line. Take care, everybody.